Welcome back to the SFM Market Update. It's 15 minutes to the top of the hour. I spoke to Outer, and that's because they are concerned that there are a lot of reports coming out about serious coal supply problems at Eskom. And this as winter is fast approaching and electricity demand is expected to peak. They're saying that if that is the case, then it needs to be viewed in a serious concern, especially against recent claims that Eskom has been relying on the use of expensive diesel-driven OCGTs. I spoke to Ronald Chauke, who is the MD, or rather manager, for energy at Alta.
The initial thought actually is that Eskom Primary Energy Division, there are serious problems there. Because remember, when you do primary energy procurement, you must plan it ahead of schedule rather than be reactive. So what I see now at the present moment is that the primary energy division, the way it is managed, is bad news. But given the fact that there is this new leadership, I think they need to start to deal with the reality of the situation and sort out the issues of what we call planned coal procurement in both the short, medium, and long term. So since when we are in a crisis situation, it's very, very important that for them, they need to sort it out at a short-term level.
In terms of the primary energy division, I mean, if you can explain to us, how do they fit into the entire business or the engine of how Eskom operates and provides electricity to end users?
Okay, you need to first understand how Eskom is structured. Mm-hmm. You'll find that the generation division, that is the ultimate division where electricity has to be produced. So under the generation division, that's where primary energy falls in. And then the whole process, the way in which it looks like, you'll find that each and every power station has got its coal specifications. And then, as you know, each and every power station has got what we call the necessary coal qualities, which have to be adhered to or minimum standard of the type of coal that has to be supplied to that particular power station so that that power station can be able to generate power. But given the poor management and leadership in that division, you'll find that other contracts for coal suppliers, they came in such a way that low quality was being supplied. And the other thing which makes things worse was that the issue of doing what we call quality assessment and the testing of the various codes that come in there, there was poor workmanship in there. And then when the whole thing happens, you'll find that if ever bad coal is supplied, it's going to affect what you call the infrastructure, your boilers and all things like that. Because you might find that rock and coal that is not necessarily usable is mixed with the coal that has to be fed in into the boilers and all things like that. And it will contribute to the damages of what we call plant breakdowns, technical problems of those power stations. So basically, as long as the whole system is not managed in the right manner, the risks of damages to the plant through technical destruction become very, very high. And then the other thing also which happens in the primary energy division is how they manage their coal stockpiles. Because you'll find that under normal circumstances, they need to have a minimum coal stockpile, let's say for instance, in line with what was supposed to be provided in NERSA's grid code. It was supposed, let's say for instance, to be, say, 42 days coal stockpile should be there, rather than us operating in less than a 22-day cycle of amount of coal available in each coal stockpile. So that is another element. And then as you continue to deal with the stockpiles, you'll find that if stockpiles are depleted, the level of the stockpile end up having a situation whereby the coal that is right at the bottom of the stockpile is not usable. Meaning that if ever, let's say, for instance, you are left with 5 days amount of coal that you can burn, you might find that you declare it as 5 days coal that can be burnt, but that coal you find that is not usable. So those are some of the technical issues which are happening at plant level. And unfortunately, the current leadership, they are likely to tell you that they were not even cautioned about that whole situation that is happening there. So if the situation is like this, then it puts you in a situation which you need to start to analyze who is involved in the whole coal procurement process at Crespo. And then once you look at it from that point of view, you'll find that there is a lot of lack of transparency. And then there are also other shady characters and then sinister forces playing at the end. Remember, you can create this kind of a situation so that you force Eskom to go to what you call emergency procurement. And then when Eskom go to emergency procurement, it's a very, very serious problem, because in that situation, Eskom has to procure coal no matter what, meaning that the issue of high-cost coal comes to play. And then when it is like that, unfortunately, we can say that Eskom is facing serious financial situation, its liquidity situation is bad. Unfortunately, it becomes even worse, because now they have to procure on an emergency level. And then when it is on an emergency basis, remember, the suppliers have to use it to their own benefit, to say that these guys are desperate for my product, let me price it at a premium price. That's the situation which we are dealing with at the present moment.
Right.
So Eskom's situation is not getting better. As long as you find that these kind of situations are rising, it's becoming worse. I hope you understand.
I'm following you, but I understand also that at the moment they are using emergency diesel-driven open-cycle gas turbines in order to meet their demand for 2018, and I can imagine that's not sustainable. So, does it concern you, based on what you're telling me about the coal supply, that we might be getting into a situation that is far worse than what existed shortly before the load shedding in 2008?
Yes, we are in quite a serious situation. The important thing that you need to understand now is that there are a lot of forces at play. Remember, in any emergency, there are other people who are making money out of it. And then they will prefer that the emergency or the crisis should persist so that they can make more money. That's why the issues of maladministration, corruption, and all things like that, they start to show themselves. So, at the present moment, from an Eskom point of view, the important thing is that the regulator, that is NERSA, has to play what we call a very, very stringent and rigorous regulatory oversight role. Because if they don't get involved, Eskom can create a problem which you find that people with vested interests are benefiting, of which, unfortunately, even internal Eskom officials might be playing that role because they are making money out of it as well. So you need to find a way in which you bring what you call objective oversight that can be able to police the situation. To the extent that even now, Eskom executive and leadership has to be held accountable and to be asked, what are the mitigating factors are they putting in place now? And then they need to give us the system status update as a matter of agency so that we know what we are dealing with. But if ever they don't report that critical information about the plant performance, the exact levels of the coal stockpiles, the exact levels of which plants are likely to negatively affect us, how much of capacity is likely, generation capacity is likely to go offline. Basically, we are all in the dark, meaning that it's Eskom only who knows what is happening. So they can manipulate the system, the situation, and then exploit us even worse to the benefit of the bad guys and then the ordinary people, the electricity users and the public, the taxpayers. You find that we just continue to be the victim of the situation, which is engineered or man-made from inside Eskom, so that we can start to feel that Eskom is more important than what it's supposed to be. That's basically what we call an engineered problem, which is created by people who want to benefit. And then unless you have appropriate information for you to correct it and mitigate it so that we can get out of this, it won't be an easy thing. So a presidential intervention, as well as the war room situation that we we had before, I think it needs to be declared and then come back to start to address this thing as a matter of urgency.
Right. But you were talking about, you know, Eskom and NERSA, and I understand that, you know, they've started, NERSA started the hearings where, you know, Eskom's trying to, you know, reclaim, I think, about 66 billion rand for the financial years, I think it's 2015, 2016, and last year. But then that just, you know, dawned to me that those financial years fall within the window of the Public Protector's report about the corruption that was happening during that period. Is it then safe to say that perhaps NERSA should cancel Eskom's tariff hike application? And if they do, what option does Eskom have in order to recoup any kind of costs or any money?
No, at the present moment, NERSA has to continue with that process of the public hearings on the regulatory clearing account. However, it's very, very important that NERSA should send the right message to Eskom and to the South African public by not granting any tariff increase. And secondly, NERSA has to tell government that this situation of which government is a contributing player is not sustainable. So we need to change the whole Eskom business model. And that thing shouldn't be postponed any further. So the starting point, actually, as we speak now, as I indicated to you, is very, very important that Eskom executives has to be assigned the role of providing an emergency mitigating strategy to correct the current situation. Because from my own observations and analysis and understanding, 80% of the problem which Eskom is talking about, of the coal issue and that load shedding can happen. Trust me, it's not an industry-created problem or electricity users-created problem. It's an internally orchestrated problem from inside Eskom. So Eskom actually is the right institution right now to give us the first solutions on the table. And the presidency from that high level, remember the issues of the problems of Eskom reporting to Department of Public Enterprises, reporting to Department of Energy, and also National Treasury playing that oversight in terms of 51, 54, 53 of the PFMA, of Eskom procurement and other things. Those institutions by themselves, actually, they are having what we call jurisdictional or boundary clashes. So the presidency is the right institution to say that, let's put together, and either it can be at the interministerial level, reporting directly to the president or to the deputy president, to come up with a solution to address the Eskom problem right now. It's very, very important. And the other thing now, we need to ask the mining companies. Those are your biggest Eskom suppliers, which Eskom used to depend on for its coal requirement. To ask them, in line with the Eskom emergency coal requirement, what can they provide to ensure that we don't find ourselves completely lacking the minimum coal that we need to run the existing power stations? So a very, very much integrated solution and an approach has to be designed so that we put together possible solutions to avert any possible blackout in the country. It is doable. It just needs the right people with the right authority to be given the mandate to correct the situation.
That's Ronald Chauke, who's a manager for energy at Alta, talking about the continued issues that we're seeing when it comes to coal and Eskom and the problems that he foresees. And with that, tonight is my final show on the SAFM Market Update, but I move on to more exciting radio opportunities. But I don't leave you alone. I leave you with a familiar voice, and that is that of Warren Thompson, who is a journalist here at MoneyWeb. He'll be taking care of you from next week, again between 6 and 7. Thank you so much for having me with you every evening, talking business, talking markets, and bringing you some really exciting interviews that I've certainly enjoyed. Until next time, it's a final goodbye from me.